Welcome to the Faith Assembly Podcast. We're so glad that you've joined us today. It is our desire at Faith to help you connect, grow, and go in your walk with God. We hope you're encouraged by this message from Pastor Steve.
Man, are you ready for the Word this morning? If you have your Bible with you, if you would turn with me to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27, and hold your spot there. I'm coming, all right? So today we're continuing our Anchored series, and in week one, a couple of weeks ago, we introduced this verse or this phrase from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, and with it, the idea of being anchored in hope and the importance of that. Last week, we talked about the necessity of anchoring appropriately or anchoring in the right places, in the right things. I remind you that though we are people of faith and we know that our salvation is found in none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we know that oftentimes as we're traversing this life, we're looking to other circumstances and other conditions to turn out in the way that we had hoped they would. And we just have already estimated that if things work out the way we planned, then everything's going to be okay. But how many of you know that it's the word of the Lord that undergirds your life? It's not circumstances, it's not conditions external, but it is the internal. It is the assurance that Christ is on the throne, that his word is forever settled, and it leads us and it guides us. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So today we're going to speak bluntly about the fact that we live in a world where storms will come. Storms will come, which highlights the necessity of why we're talking about being appropriately anchored in our walk of faith. You know, that is, and you've heard me say this many, many times, if you've been to Faith Assembly Church any length of time, we love the promises of God, we stand on the promises of God, we recite, rehearse the promises of God, and one often overlooked promise of our Lord is this, that in this world you will have trouble. In the world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, because he has overcome the world. Amen? Amen. So it's not a matter of if the storm is coming, it's a matter of when. Honestly, it's not a matter of if the storm is coming, it's a matter of when. The storms are coming, there will be adversity, there will be suffering, there will be pain and disappointment. And when we are faced with any of these things, we need to be prepared beforehand. The time to get your flashlight batteries and the gasoline for your generator is not as the eye of the storm is passing over, but it is as the storm warning is being sounded. And today, I'm sounding the alarm for you. I'm sounding the warning to say, I wish as a pastor so badly that I could just convey to everyone that when you come to faith, all of life's troubles are over and you're just going to live a life of ease and pain-free. That is not the case. But there's a grace that flows from the throne of God that is sufficient to cover you in whatever this life brings. There's a promise from God that in all these things, you will be made more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who loves you. Amen? Amen. So, you know, I can't imagine a ship setting sail on a sea and not taking the appropriate measures and not having a greater plan, you know, I can't imagine that ship leaving port without an anchor and having a plan of how it's going to be utilized appropriately should a storm arise. And I ask you today, why would we just float through life with no greater plan for times that we face adversity than to have no anchor and no careful consideration for where that anchor is cast or into what that anchor is cast? Maybe we don't see the need for an anchor. Maybe we've never really had to plan ahead or had relatively a life of ease. I don't know. And we don't think too often about hardship or suffering. But whatever the case may be, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. When the storms come, we must know now what we're going to do then. We must know now what we're going to do then. And thankfully, the Bible provides us some thoughts on the matter that can help us develop and appropriately anchor our lives in a true and lasting hope. Now, a few weeks ago, we spoke about the parable of the wise and foolish builders. How many of you remember that? Amen. Thank you. Amen. You have made my day. Amen. You've just made my day. I'm so glad that you remember that. Does my heart good. But we talked about the wise and the foolish builders, and we talked about two houses constructed that surely were done so with an understanding that storms were commonplace. However, only one of the houses that was built with the consideration of this in consideration in the establishment of their foundation. In both cases, the builders had heard the words of Jesus. Unfortunately, only one builder had acted upon them and responded to the teaching of Christ. A.T. Robertson said in Word Pictures in the New Testament that hearing sermons is a dangerous business if one does not put them into practice. Hearing sermons is a dangerous business if one doesn't put them into practice. Can I just encourage you today that as bad as we all want greater revelation, as bad as we, as earnestly as we pray, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. Give me understanding to this situation, this thing. Lord, open your biblical principles to me and help me know your will and your way. Can I just say that with the greater revelation also comes an even greater responsibility? We have a greater responsibility, having heard the word of the Lord, to then respond in kind and walk according to the word of the Lord. As a matter of fact, Paul, writing to the church, wrote about this very thing. He wasn't writing about material possessions. He wasn't talking about money or any other things. He was talking specifically about understanding the gospel of Jesus Christ when he writes to the church and says, "Moreover, it is required of a steward." Someone who's been entrusted, someone who's been given something. And what he's saying is, we have received the word of the Lord, and it is required of us as recipients of truth that stewards be found faithful. So today, I'm telling you, it's not enough for you to come into the house of the Lord and sit through the worship service and hear the songs sing and hear the word of the Lord declared over your life and then just walk out and say, check, I've got that done for the week. That's behind me now. I went to the 9:30 so I can have the rest of the day. No, Monday, it needs to be in your spirit. Tuesday, it needs to be in your spirit. Wednesday, it needs to be in your spirit so that you meditate in the law of the Lord day and night and you become like a tree planted by the rivers of water, whose leaves shall not wither, and whatever you do will prosper in the spirit. I think we'd all agree that it's easy enough to listen to something. It's harder to really dig in and hear. I got to tell y'all something. My precious bride thinks that I'm half deaf. I indeed am not half deaf. I have selective hearing. And you have to be sure that you have my attention before you say things to me, or I may be hearing you, but I'm not listening. And while we all want greater revelation, the issue is that with that revelation, that word, as we are hearers of the word, we must also be doers of the word. So it would seem that this is the exact choice that Jesus lays out at the end of Matthew 7, that we've got to hear and respond to his teachings. And if this resonates with you today, be encouraged about this fact. Even the closest of Jesus' disciples who traveled with him through his ministry here on the earth, it took years for them to put into practice all the things that they learned. So don't give up on yourself just yet. God's grace is sufficient for you. God has a plan for you to prosper you and to grow you and nurture you in the things of the Lord. So just keep on keeping on. Amen? Amen. So there's grace for the process, but at the same time, there's encouragement that we listen and we respond, that we choose to be like the wise builder who built his house on the solid rock, not the foolish builder who built in the sand. And when the storms do come, which they will, you can make the most of it knowing that your hope is secure in Christ Jesus. Now, today's text highlights the beauty and the freedom that comes from living a life that is anchored in Christ. It should come as no surprise that this text is a record from the missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. And while we're camping on the idea of anchoring in hope, I think we need to understand that this Paul, of whom we're about to read, faced some of the most grievous circumstances in life that any human being outside of Jesus himself has ever faced. How many of you, show of hands, have ever been wrongly imprisoned? Stoned? I mean, like, actually had rocks thrown at you. It just... Just being clear. Drugged to the city edge and left for dead. Ostracized by the religious family. Had people speak ill of you. Obviously, some of these things we can resonate with, but, you know, we've not been shipwrecked and some of these things that Paul faced. And I want you to consider as we're passing through this that this is the man who wrote to the church and says, I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. And I'm telling you, as I read the life story and understand the journey of faith that Paul walked and understand that many of these things that he faced not because he was a criminal, not because he was a bad guy, but because he was faithful to the call of God on his life. And then as I look at these situations in which he finds himself, I find contentment a hard ask. A high reach. I'm not sure I could make it in all these places, but Paul says, I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. For Paul, that contentment included being shipwrecked at sea and stranded for months on a strange island. And here's how our story begins. In the first part of this story, Paul is a prisoner and he's being transported via ship to Italy. By verse 9, after many exchanges here in chapter 27, we learn that this journey has already been a difficult journey and that they had lost much time. I can identify with this. I've been away this weekend at some meetings and things. I've traversed Interstate 95 in the northern corridor of our great country. And I can tell you, I bring you the report that 95, 695, 495, 295, all of them are overcrowded. Amen. I left home by the time I left the place I was at, it gave me a certain time on my GPS. I'd been on the road about 30 minutes and I'd already lost an hour and a half. And I was like, ugh. Okay. So thank you for helping me get over that this morning. But Acts chapter 27, verse 10. Paul is speaking here to these people on this ship, and he says, men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo in the ship, but also our lives. Paul's not saying if disaster comes, Paul's saying when disaster comes. But as you'd imagine, they don't listen to him, and they keep going. And they go along their way, and I've got a word today for anybody that subjects themselves to trying to understand the word of the Lord but doesn't then walk in it. And that's the Proverbs chapter 29 verse 1 that says, he who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Look, you and I can't walk through this life just turning a blind eye or just ignoring the counsel of the word and expect everything to turn out. It's not. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. We've got to hear and heed and be doers of the word. And so here's these people. Paul has given them instruction that come from the Lord through seasons of prayer and fasting, and says, look, I don't think this is a good idea. They proceed with it anyway. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, what does this guy know? Putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called Euroclydon. And now when neither sun nor stars had appeared for many days and no small tempest beat on us, all hope was lost that we would be saved, and was finally given up. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me. Told you so. Isn't that, that's our favorite thing to say, isn't it? Don't you ever just wait? No, go ahead. Just go ahead. And then when it doesn't work out, well, I tried to tell you. Paul's here, you know, I tried to tell you guys. Man, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you and all those who sail with you. Take heart, therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as he told me. Now in this section we see the storms come, the ship is wrecked, and all the people involved are terrified except Paul, who has a complete faith and assurance that all will end well. And as we transition into chapter 28, we find Paul and this crew. They're stranded on the island of Malta. And it says there that the islanders showed us unusual kindness. They were shown unusual kindness. You know, you and I are going to go through some times in life where it looks like we've hit a rough patch, and then it seems like everything's over. And, you know, we get a little season of favor and grace there, and then we think it's all behind us, and lo and behold, you know, we're not finished. There's still some more coming. The islanders welcome Paul and his traveling companions. They built them a fire to warm themselves by. And this text continues here in verse 28, and it says, but when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. I want to talk to you for just a minute about what I believe is one of the most vulnerable Achilles heels among most church people. I don't have any hard data on the fact. It's simply anecdotal and comes from 20 plus years of pastoral ministry. But can I tell you that what people say and our fear thereof is often one of the greatest hindrances to our obedience of what God is calling us to do and what God's calling us to be. We are in this digital age where people say things, you know, just from the cowardice of their keyboards and just blurt out whatever they want to, and you know, it's loaded with all this, you know, stuff. You know what I'm talking about. And we're just like, what does that even mean? I mean, is that? I've spoken with people though over the years. They will not move out into God's call because they're worried about what somebody else is going to think of them. They're worried about what somebody else is going to say about them. What are they going to say if I step out? Can I be honest with you? When God first started dealing with me about pastoral ministry, it was so foreign to who I was as an individual that I thought to myself, what in the world are people going to think about this? What in the world are people going to think about this? And sometimes we can't even decide if we're going to obey the Lord based on what we suspect that somebody else might say. So here's this warm and welcoming tribe of people. They bring Paul and these visitors in. They build them a fire to warm themselves by. Paul gathers some firewood, throws it in the fire, and because of the heat, the viper comes out and attaches to his hand. And they say, when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this is a murderer. Obviously, if he had the kind of faith that I have, this thing wouldn't have happened to him. Obviously, because their children are wayward, there's something off in the home. Obviously, because of this thing over here, that's the root cause of this problem. You've heard it all before. And it shuts people up and it shuts people down and they can't progress in the faith. They can't progress in God's calling. And I want you just to consider here in just a moment, what if when these people said these things about Paul, what if Paul sat in the corner and pouted and said, maybe I am everything that these people have said I am. Maybe I should just cool it. Maybe I ought to draw back and just kind of let go of this whole God said thing. No big deal for Paul. I love interjecting the other places where Paul gives counsel to the body of Christ into these narratives of his own life and just see how this man lived the very word that he preached. And we see this here where it says, so when the natives saw this thing hanging from his body, they said one to another, no doubt this man's a murderer, whom though he escaped through the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live. And I just hear echoing in the back of my mind the Apostle Paul writing to the church and saying, to me, it is a very small thing that I be judged by you, because you're not the judge of me. God is, who saved me and redeemed me and called me and has anointed me. Your opinion beside has nothing to do with it. I stand in the authority of who God has said I am. I will walk in the authority of what he's called me to do. I will be what he's called me to be and go where he told me to go. Listen to the result. The results are in about the opinions of everybody else and how it impacted or was leveraged in Paul's life. And pretty much it's void. Listen, Paul trusts the word of the Lord more than the circumstances that he's in. Was this a planned stop? No, it wasn't. Was this a comfortable situation? No, it wasn't. Was Paul again being treated unjustly? Yes, he was. But listen to this. In that region, there was an estate of a leading citizen of the island whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. And Paul went into him and prayed. And he laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases came also and were healed. So many people would have died on the word of the onlookers who had no idea of God's plan for Paul's life. But Paul said, you don't define me. God's call, God's anointing, God's purpose defines me. This may be inconvenient. This may be uncomfortable. But I have learned in whatever state I am and whatever bypass I've had to be on, whatever obstacle that's been in my way, I have learned whatever inconvenience has come into my life in whatever state I am therewith to be content, because I know that God's got a purpose. I know that God's got a plan and he will see it come to pass in my life. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to lay hands on the sick and they will be healed in Jesus' name. I'm going to believe for miracles and I'm going to declare the goodness of God in the land of the living as long as he gives me breath in whatever state I am, whatever place I'm in, whether it's the way I wanted it to be or not, because my life is anchored not in the fickle circumstances of this life, but in the guarantee of an eternity with him, that when I stand before him, all I want to hear is, well done, good and faithful servant. Throughout this story, we see what can happen If you've made a choice to build your home, your life on Jesus, we see what can come from a life that's firm and secure, anchored in Jesus. I want to invite you to stand. I'll share with you just a few observations from this story, and maybe you'd add some others. I don't know, but Paul was completely content through a violent storm and the shipwreck and being stranded. In fact, he seemed to take it all in stride, never once complaining that his plans were ruined. He was very open-handed through it all and said, "Lord, not my will, not what I had thought was the right way, but this is where you have me now." And Paul took advantage of his time there on Malta. He preached the gospel, healed the sick in Jesus' name. He could have pouted and moped for 3 months, but instead he made the best of the situation and he treated it as an opportunity instead of a hindrance. And God supplied through the people of Malta everything the crew needed. They had food, they had a place to stay, a new ship, and the provisions to continue their journey. You see, that's Paul's witness when he says that God is working all things together for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purpose. It may not be the way you dreamed it would be right in this moment. It doesn't mean that God's forgotten you. You may not be exactly where you'd planned to be in this moment. Don't worry about it. Just rest in contentment, knowing that God's got it all and in control, and anchor your life in the promise of his word. What was Paul's promise? Paul's promise was, you're going to stand before Caesar. No typhoon can stop it. No shipwreck can stop it. No snake bite, no ridicule, no nothing else can stop it. You're going to stand before Caesar. That's the fact. Can I tell you, you've been made more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who loves you, and you may be going through a tough spot right now, but God's going to see you through. Anchor in him, rest in him. God supplied through the storms, the shipwrecks, the snake bites, and all the suffering. God is faithful. He's going to work it all out according to his will and his purpose. And as I've mentioned many times today, it's not a matter of if the storms of life come, it's a matter of when. And the time to be ready for when is now. The time to decide, the time to prep for the hurricane, the time to get your flashlight batteries and the gasoline for your generator is not as the storm is passing over, but it's beforehand to be ready, to have already decided, Lord, whatever comes, I trust you. I'm going to make it through. Maybe you didn't see the need for an anchor. You've never really had to plan ahead. Maybe you've had a life of relative ease and you don't think too often about hardships and suffering. Whatever the case may be, wherever you find yourself today, I want to encourage you to trust in Jesus. Choose him over any other thing, even if it sounds good and even if it looks like a secure option. I can assure you that if it's not Jesus, it's not going to hold fast through the fiercest of life's storms. When the storm or the suffering, the adversity arrive, make sure that you've already got a firm grip on Jesus Christ.
We hope you enjoyed this inspirational message today. If you would like more information about Faith Assembly, please visit us on the web at faith-assembly.org. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you have a blessed day.